Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's really good to be with you here at Brooklands again. As it's already been mentioned, sadly, I've not been to a school in this area for a long, long time, so the children probably won't know me. It's the first time I've seen you, so it's really good to be with you here. I do go into a lot of schools, taking school assemblies, but mainly in the sort of east of Manchester area is the main area that I tend to cover nowadays. I have the privilege of speaking to about 6,000 children in schools every term, so it's a fantastic privilege that I have. But we also go out. Our mission is to take the good news of Jesus out to people where they are. So that can be in schools. We also go out into the open air in Manchester on a Friday during the spring, summer and autumn time, but not during the winter time, to proclaim the good news of Jesus there. So that's just a very quick summary of the ministry that we're in. We are looking for someone. I value your prayers in joining with us in this. We have been praying for a number of for a while now, as age is taking its going on. We're praying for someone to take over this ministry so that it will continue long into the future. But that person hasn't been called yet and pointed out to us, so we're still carrying on until that time arrives. I just want to do a short reading from the Bible, and this reading is actually in Acts chapter 17. And the background to the reading is that the Apostle Paul is journeying around telling the good news of Jesus to people in different parts. He's in Greece, in Athens, in Greece, and he has been debating with people in the marketplace, telling them the good news of Jesus, very much like what we do in Manchester on a Friday. And he's been invited to speak to the main sort of debating council, the Areopagus in Athens. We join the story now as he is standing up to speak to this council. Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." I want to tell you a story. We're not going into another song now. So it's straight to me. Okay. I want to tell you a story. And usually I tell most of my stories, especially when I'm going to schools, I usually tell the story with the help of a painting. Would you like to see the painting I prepared for you today?
Yes.
That didn't look very enthusiastic. Would you like to see the painting I've done today?
Yes.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. There's my painting for today. Right. Okay. And as you can tell, I've got somebody painted up. I haven't quite finished this one yet. I've got somebody on here. He looks a bit like one of the Mr. Men. I hope you can tell. And he's... Now, I don't think, I've looked, but I don't think you'll actually find this Mr. Man character in any of Roger Hargreaves' books. I've actually made this guy up for myself. As you can say, he looks pretty sad, doesn't he? And with his yellow nose and his blue colour, you might say he's related to Mr. Mean, but Mr. Mean's long and thin. He's round and small. I've drawn this Mr. Man, and I've given him a name, And I'm going to paint his name up on the board. And I'm going to paint it up in white letters. If you've not seen this before, watch out for the white letters that appear, even though I've got black paint on my paintbrush, as you can see. And so watch out for the white letters, and you'll see them appear, because this is Mr. Can you see that? Mr. Selfish. Mr. Selfish. Now, Mr. Selfish, he was so selfish, he would not share anything with anyone. When he was little and he had some toys, he wouldn't share his toys with anybody. He wouldn't let anybody else play with his. He wouldn't share his sweets. He wouldn't share anything. He was just so selfish. He just thought about himself all the time. It was always me, me, me. Mine, mine, mine. And all the time as he was growing up, everything he did, he was being selfish about. And let's have a look, just get this up right here. And he was so selfish as he was. When he grew up, he decided he was going to get the most selfish job. This is the man in my story. He was a bit like Mr. Selfish. He decided he was going to get the most selfish job that he possibly could at the time. And so he became a tax collector. Now, I've got to be careful here, because just in case there's anybody here who is a tax collector or is related to a tax collector, I'm not talking about tax collectors now, of course. I'm talking about a tax collector who lived 2,000 years ago, and he lived in a town called Jericho in Israel, near the River Jordan. And this man, he was a tax collector. He was very good at doing his job. He was a very good tax collector as far as his employers, the Romans, were concerned. And as he got so good at it, he became the chief tax collector in the whole of the city of Jericho. And this job had some big attractions for him. One of the attractions was that there were some big bodyguards that always came round with him and looked big and mean and would protect him if anybody else came near him and was looking like they were going to hurt him or anything like that. That was one attraction. He liked that. But the other attraction was that he could collect ZAT, or ZAT for short. And it's a bit like VAT. Have you heard of VAT? You know, VAT or VAT. Do you know what VAT stands for? Value-added tax, that's right. It stands for value-added tax. Well, ZAT stood for Zacchaeus added tax, because that was his name. His name was Zacchaeus. And what Zacchaeus would do, you see, when he was going to collect taxes from people, he'd go to someone and he'd say, "You owe the government £20. And they'd say, "No, I don't. I only owe £10. You owe £20. No, I don't. I only owe 20. I've 10. I've worked it out. £20. And the soldiers with him, the bodyguards, would stand forward looking big and mean and nasty. And, they'd say, "Okay, there's your £20. And then as Zacchaeus walked away, he'd laugh to himself and he'd say, "That's £10 in that pocket for me and £10 in that pocket for the government." And what was he doing? He was stealing, wasn't he? And we think that sounds pretty terrible, pretty bad. We could feel quite angry about it. When we think about it, boys and girls and mums and dads and grandmas and granddads, just be careful. Plastic bottles are not good like glass ones, okay. We all do things which may be similar to that. Things that might stain our lives. And we've got there sometimes. We might start just by disobeying our parents. And that spoils our lives and not nice and clean anymore. Then we might, later on at school, we might get into a fight. Or we might take somebody's pencil or somebody's money that belongs to them. Or when we find something in a machine or we give them too much change back, we don't give it back, we just keep it for ourselves. And then we might try a bit of, while the shopkeeper's not looking, we might take a chocolate bar and we think, well, they won't miss it. And all these things, they spoil our lives. We're just doing the same as Zacchaeus did then when we do that. And then when we get a bit older, perhaps we've got a tax return to fill in and we think, oh, we won't put all our income in. The government don't need to know about everything I earn, do they? And then we might see if we can get onto a bus without paying the fare. And sometimes we might use God's name in vain. We might use his name as a swear word. And there are various times when we read those magazines that we shouldn't look at, or those television programs or those films, and all the things that we do. Then when we get into a crisis, we say, God, please help me get out of this crisis. Help me get out of this mess that I'm in. And he does. And we say, if we get him out of this crisis, we'll follow you. We'll serve you. And he does do that. And we say, well, no, I'm just going to live my life my way now. And so we take God's name in vain. And we've all broken all the Ten Commandments. We've been angry. We've lost our tempers. We've said nasty things to people. And then we want to go to heaven to be. But the Bible says nothing impure will ever enter into my heaven. How can we get into heaven with our lives all stained and nasty like that? Well, the thing is, one day Zacchaeus was sitting in his house and he heard what sounded like a lot of noise. A lot of people were around about outside. And so he rushed out of his house. And as he got outside his house, let's give him a head so he can see. And as he got outside his house, he noticed that there was a big crowd of people. Now, there's a couple of ways in which I could paint a crowd of people. One way is to get my paint pots and throw them over everybody. And I've painted a crowd of people, but I don't think you'd be laughing if I did that, really. So I think I might be drummed out of the place. But, okay, this is one way in which I paint crowds of people. I get my paintbrushes like this and put them together. And we get a crowd of people all lining up alongside the roadside. There's a crowd of people. Well, they will be a crowd of people as well when I give them some heads. So give them some heads so they can all see as well. And so we have this crowd of people all stood along the roadside, all looking very excited. And Zacchaeus thought to himself, I wonder what's going on. What's going on? So many people are here. Perhaps a circus is coming to town or something like that. But the trouble was that Zacchaeus had a problem. Not only was he selfish, that was a problem that he had, but he was also only small. And so he couldn't see what was going on that the crowd were getting so excited about. All the people were in front of him were bigger than him. He couldn't see. And so he went to the back of the crowd and he said, I'm the chief tax collector. Let me through. Do you think they let him through? No. No, they didn't let him through. They said, it's Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the thief. You don't think we're going to let him through? We don't think we're going to let you through, Zacchaeus, do you? Please, let me through. I'm only small. I can't see at the back here, and you're all big. I won't block anybody's view if I get to the front. Please, let me through. Shove off, somebody said. Kick his shins, somebody said. And they just wouldn't let him through. And all Zacchaeus could do was stand at the back of all the people and look at the back of their heads. And he became now Mr. Sad. He was sad. Do you know, all the sins that we have in our life, and that's what all the wrong things I was talking about before, they all come under that general heading of sin, and they all stain our lives and spoil our lives. And what that happens is that they will become, in us, they do become like a barrier that comes between us and God. And that makes not only us sad, but it makes God sad too, because God wants to be friends with every one of us. He wants to be our friend. He wants to have a relationship with us. That's what he made us for. And worse still, as I've already said, it means that we can't go to heaven, because as the Bible said, I've already said, nothing impure will ever enter into my heaven, God said. So what do we do? We say, I'll try and clean my life up. I'll do some good things. I'll give some money to charity. I'll help people. I'll go to church. That's a good idea. What else shall I think of doing? I'll make a New Year's resolution. I'll be a better person this year. But the thing is, it doesn't matter. Even if we could do all these good things in our lives, it doesn't make any difference, does it? It doesn't matter how much good stuff we do from now on. Even if we could live a perfect life from now on to the end of our lives, we can't get rid of all the stuff that's already there. You know, the trouble is we're all guilty and we can't get around it. We're all guilty of the wrong things that we've done. And it makes us sad, and it makes God sad, because he wants us to be with him forever. And we can't save ourselves, but God can. We don't deserve it, but God loves us so much that he did something really amazing so that we can go to heaven to be with him. Well, as Zacchaeus stood there at the back of all those people, suddenly he had a great idea. He thought to himself, right, he ran down the road, around the corner a little bit, and there was this wonderful sycamore fig tree. And he looked up in it, he said, yes. And so he looked around quickly to make sure no one was looking. And he pulled up his robe and tapped it in, tied it into his belt, showing off his short, fat, hairy legs. And then he climbed up into the tree, and he hung over this branch, nice, comfortable branch. Let's give him a, he's still got his head. Okay, and he hung on, and there he is. There's his legs, and he's holding on tight. Wow, don't you wish you could paint like this? I give lessons, you know. But anyway, there he is, hanging on, and he could see over the top of all the people that were down below him. And as he looked over the top, he could see Jesus and his disciples walking along the road towards him. And he thought, I've heard about this Jesus they're all talking about. I've heard about the amazing things. It'd be great to see him and to know how. I heard he changed water into wine. If I knew how he could do that, I could really be rich. As he began to think a bit more about what he'd learned about Jesus and heard about Jesus, he thought, doesn't he tell people when they've done wrong? But I've not really done anything wrong, have I? Has he? The thing is, Jesus has never met me before, so he wouldn't know what I'd done wrong. Sometimes he does tell people when he's not met them before. If I stay up in this tree, nice and quiet and still, he won't see me. And he won't know I'm here. No one else knows I'm here. And he won't know I'm here either. Sometimes we're like that. When we know we've done something wrong, we say to ourselves, no one has seen me. No one will know about it. And even the bad thoughts we have, the nasty thoughts we have about people, we think no one knows about those. But you know, there's somebody who knows everything about everything that we can ever think or do, and that is God. We can't hide anything from him, because he knows everything we say, even before we say it. He knows everything we do. He knows everything we think. We can't hide anything from him. Jesus came walking along the road, and as he came to the bottom of the tree, he stopped, and Zacchaeus held his breath up in the tree. And then Jesus looked up. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to come to your house. Well, Zacchaeus, fancy that. He knew his name. How did he know his name? But the thing is, he knows everybody's name. He knows my name. He knows the names of everybody here. We're all special to him, and he knows every one of us. Nothing is hidden from him. Well, Zacchaeus was so shocked, he nearly fell out the tree. And he came down so quickly, and he said, do you want to come to my house? And Jesus said, yes, let's go. And so off they went to Zacchaeus' house, and all the rest of the people in the crowd, they went, whew, whew, that's disgusting, that's terrible. Fancy going to the house of that tax collector, that thief. Now, we don't know what happened. The Bible doesn't actually tell us what happened when Jesus went inside Zacchaeus' house. But I would imagine that Zacchaeus would have had a meal made for Jesus, and they would have sat and ate the meal together. And Jesus would have looked at Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus realized as Jesus looked at him, he felt as though Jesus could see right through him, right inside him, and he knew everything about everything he ever done. And he suddenly felt really, really bad. He knew that he'd done lots of bad things, and he knew that he'd really spoiled his life, and his life was all stained and a mess like that. And we do know that afterwards, when they came out of the house, that Zacchaeus was a different man. Because when he came out of the house, he said to Jesus, I'm really sorry for all the bad things I've done, and I'm going to give half of all my money to the poor people. And anything I've stolen off people, I'm going to give four times as much back. It means he was going to give 40 pounds back to the person he's stolen 10 pounds of. And Jesus looked at him and he said, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house because you're sorry for what you have done. And you're willing to turn around and turn away from your sin and all the wrongdoing. And I have come to seek and to save lost people. Zacchaeus was changed. He was no longer Mr. Selfish. Now he was Mr. Look out for the yellow letters this time. Can you see that? Mr. Special. Wasn't that wonderful? But how could that happen? How could that happen? The thing was, as Jesus was going through Jericho that day, he was on his way to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he was going to do something really special because each one of us is special to him. Because he loves each one of us, he was going to do something really special. He was going to die on a cross. And when he died on that cross, he was being punished for all the wrong things that Zacchaeus had done and anyone who believes and trusts in him has done. He died on that cross to take that punishment because he loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus, God's Son, died on the cross to take the punishment for all the wrong things I've done, all the wrong things everybody here has done if they will believe in him. And after that, 3 days later, he rose again and he was seen by many, many witnesses. And many people know that that has happened. They know that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose again. But they don't do anything about it. So their lives are still the same. But it's possible for each one of us to know that our lives are made clean. In the Bible reading I read earlier, Paul spoke to the people at Athens and he said, God commands all people everywhere to repent. That means he wants us to do an about turn. He wants us to put our trust in what Jesus has done as he died on the cross and do a complete about turn. And when we do that about turn, something really amazing happens. He makes our lives clean again. But we have to do something about it. That doesn't happen just on its own. We have to put our trust in Jesus and what he's done for us and do that about turn. Turn away from the way we live our lives and turn to the way he wants us to live. The wages of sin is death. That means separation from God forever. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you want that gift? Do you want that gift? If you haven't already received that gift, you can receive that gift today. All you have to do is to say to Jesus, I'm sorry for all the sin in my life, the sins that have made my life a mess. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please come into my life and help me to turn around and live your way in the future. And he will do that. You see, Jesus did all this because he loves us. He died on the cross. He was buried, but on the third day, he rose again, and he is alive. And you can know your life changed. It's an amazing gift that he wants to give to each one of us. If you're here today, and you have heard what I've said, and you know that it's true, you know that if Jesus were to walk in here today, he would know everything about you, just like you, what Zacchaeus was like. But he loves you. And he wants you to turn to him. God commands you to repent and turn from your sin. Doesn't matter whether you're 6 years old, 5 years old, 60 years old, whatever. God wants you, if you haven't already done it, to turn and receive the new life that he wants to give. But some of you might say, you might say to me, yes, I have. Just a minute. I have asked Jesus into my life. And he did make my life clean again. But I've messed up since then. I have done things which I know have hurt him. The thing is, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If that is the case, your life, you have trusted in Jesus, you have got a new life in him, but you have done something which you know has hurt him. All you have to do is tell him that you're sorry. And you tell him that you're sorry and he will forgive you and make your life clean again. Because Jesus died on the cross for our past sins, our present sins, our future sins. Because he loves us so much. If there is anybody here, perhaps who wants to know more and wants to know how they can ask Jesus to come into their lives, come and have a word with me afterwards, perhaps, or with the pastor, or with one of your Sunday school leaders, or take one of these leaflets that I've got here. The blue ones are for adults. They're both called the same, Turn to God, but the red ones are more child-centered. So just take one of those or come and have a word with us afterwards. And today, I would ask you, don't go out of this place knowing that your lives are still messed up. Go out of this place today knowing that you are clean because Jesus has made you clean and you will have a place in heaven set for you in the future. Thank you.